Well, the theme that I found for today is that of the two citizenships explained in the Philippians passage, that of earthly citizenship and that of the heavenly citizenship. But before we get particularly to that theme, I think it necessary for us to look also at the citizenship of Israel. For there, in that condition, people being endowed and blessed with the covenant promises and gifts of God, the holy city, Jerusalem, the temple, the worship of God and the proximity there of the Holy of Holies, all of this sense a building up within the people individually and collectively a sense of God's blessing and approval and affirmation so strongly upon them that they could not recognize, appreciate, nor accept the prophet sent to them to bring God's word of warning to them. They are, in essence, entitled in a way to say, as we are, no one can accuse us. We are beyond that, after all. We are the holy people of God. And so as Jeremiah comes to declare God's word of truth in a way to restore that absolute standard of God's word and God's truth, that unconditional reality, they reject that message, that warning, that sounding of the alarm, to the point where they, you know, would like to take the prophet's life. There, the story, there, the history of the prophets, Jesus' reference to the prophets and Jerusalem and Jerusalem's treatment. And so we should not hear those words as particularly applying to those people only. I believe we should hear those words as applying to the, in fact, universal human condition, that which we find ourselves born into, the confession of our sins. I acknowledge that I am born into this reality in which my earthly citizenship is in fact naturally just kind of lived out in a way because I know no better, I know no other, as much as we are born into it. The other side of this reality is that even at it, as it is the condition of our birth, we also learn this citizenship. We are degraded in this citizenship, in this the nature of sin is such that as it is, it has a natural tendency and inherent nature towards growth and multiplication, in the sense that the sin of one becomes the sin of others, and the pattern is going on and on in this way throughout history and time. So Paul speaks to the people of God in this kind of moment. I think we recognize the pattern that what was is what has been and is, in fact, now. He speaks to them using these words. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul speaking of the individual nature of this journeying. And so as much as he, receiving direct revelation from Jesus, acknowledges the uniqueness of this in the sense that he is called of God to proclaim, to declare the realities of the gospel to a whole kind of half the world, the Gentiles, kind of moment, yet also saying As much as I am have received this revelation from God uniquely or particularly, I press on toward this. A reminder to us that no matter where we are in the nature of experiencing a proximity, faith, living out the relationship with God, there is and remains perpetually the sense of journeying, moving on, moving forward in a way that we never attain some place of complacency or sitting down and saying, I have attained, but always a pressing on. Always a reflecting upon the law, the word, always a sense of examination and disclosure and discovering the space between us and God, never the sense of, I have arrived, I have attained. I don't mean in any way to cast doubt upon your salvation, that is objectively in Christ, secured by virtue of his word and his sacrament to us, the realities of baptism. I'm speaking there of justification. What we talk about today is the nature of sanctification and its ongoing growth and work in our lives. So note the transition from I press on toward the goal, and then verse 15, all of us then who are mature, the sense that as much as Paul affirms this individual kind of struggle and journeying, he is saying also collectively, as a church, as a community, as a fellowship, we are involved in this journeying together. And in that sense, perhaps we look at ourselves as team or as family in a way that not only is looking to the individual, the relationship with God, but also saying, how are we doing together? How are we doing collectively? And the question of perhaps application of spiritual gifts or a reference here to verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And there in verse 17, we see what going back to the Middle Ages had become for the church, the sense of the life, the path that God brings and gives to us has a substance, has uniqueness, has particularity to it. And with that then, people going about the business of describing the habit, you know, what is our rule or what is our practice of this? I think unfortunately at the time, you know, withdrawing from community for the simple sake and purpose of living out this rule and this habit, you know, being cloistered, set apart from community in a way of showing this kind of rejection of that and the embrace of the other. And that reality has to be ours. The accepting of the path and the way, the light, the uniqueness of God's word. And yet the remaining in that God has called us to be his people in but not of, you know, remaining in the culture, remaining in the broader community, but certainly different, unique, not of. For Paul describes then the nature of those who are of the earthly mind. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So this four-part description, very clearly here, you have to acknowledge heaven and earth or heaven and hell are completely different separate objective realities. This is the worldview that Scripture gives to us. We do not have any kind of implication of a universalistic kind of sense of everybody gets there by whatever means they choose, a kind of thing. But yes, we all face Christ as the judge of our lives, and that is his place and his relationship by virtue of the cross. Destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Here the sense of what we worship in life is simply our appetites. And the whole orientation to life is the gratification, the filling of these appetites, which begs the question, you know, if I have an appetite that is connected with my bodily existence, what could possibly be wrong with the natural appetites that we as human beings, you know, bearing something of the image of God, inherently have? And the answer there is nothing particularly wrong with the appetites, but our relationship to and with them can be all turned upside down. An appetite is for the greater good of the whole. An appetite is, in essence, governed by the will of God, not by the will of self. So perhaps in through this Lenten season, we look at our relationship with our appetites and perhaps ask, am I Lord of these things? You know, under Christ, am I exercising a sense of sovereignty in relation to these appetites, or rather, are they controlling me? Do I live just to fulfill these appetites, or are these appetites under the governance of God's will and God's word? And I think if we were to back off and look at this, we would find easily, you know, the seven deadly sins all wrapped up in there, in those appetites. but these, the earthly mind worships. Their glory is in their shame. Here speaks to a sense of the reversal of values that is happening all around us. We're inclined, perhaps, to think that this is uniquely of our age, but Scripture speaking of them here simply certainly takes us back to the time of Jesus and Paul. The moment of Jeremiah in Jerusalem takes us back even further in terms of the broader picture, that again, this is just human nature to turn things upside down. What God says no to, the human nature is inclined to say yes to, and to explain that by simply saying, this just seems all natural to me. So again, the affirmation of the reality of God's word and God's view of life and that which is pleasing being contrary to the earthly citizenship perspective, the reversal of values. Their mind is set on earthly things. Here, just the horizontal perspective in life that acknowledges nothing beyond. To take God out of life is to create this kind of closedness. All that matters is what seems right to me. All that matters is the gratification of myself, the elevation of myself, and so on it goes. I suspect that this amounts to a lot of what the fear of death really culminates in. If I have not acknowledged God as other, as above and beyond me, if I have not acknowledged the cross in the sense that clearly, if God should will that his own son come and die such a death there must have been something terribly, terribly, tragically wrong to require such suffering, to require such sacrifice, to require such display of God's compassion and mercy. The cross and Christ himself could not be a trivial, take it or leave it kind of matter by virtue of its very depth, the grossness, the horror of it. But our citizenship is in heaven, Paul writes. Our citizenship is in heaven. Earthly citizens and heavenly citizens, the two, side by side, but contrasted in a night and day kind of way. Our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. Is that in fact our perspective? Eagerly awaiting a Savior from there? Eagerly? The sense of day by day, I recognize this reality that is and that is all around me, and the promise of the Word of God is just this, that Christ is bringing all things in heaven and on earth under his authority into submission to him. Can we, do we live in that reality? You know, the fundamental declaration, confession of the Christian, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is sovereign. And with that, the peace that we have to say, all that's going on, all of this, is not cause for the turmoil of my soul, my heart, and my mind. But all of this is within the realm, the pall of God, bringing all things under submission to Christ. And that allows me to place myself right in the midst of that. My brokenness, my sin, my heart, my mind, my will being brought to this point of submission and honor of Christ himself. Bring everything under his control. My thoughts, my feelings, all of this submitted to the promise, the Word of God. Heaven is our citizenship. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The contrast to the earthly living results in the complete degradation of human glory, the complete degradation of human dignity, being mastered and controlled by appetites. These, dear friends, humiliate time after time. These rob, steal the very life that God intends us to know and to live. They haul it all off, and the people are left impoverished, souls in anguish, relationships torn, the economy a mess. Everything is in flow with this pattern of sin and the darkness of its shadow, or the light of Christ and the brightness of peace, forgiveness, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the wisdom of God. It all comes together. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, you, in fact, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Ours is a standing in and upon the word of Christ our Savior, a standing that is enabled by His Word, His Spirit, and His means of grace. A standing that is enabled by His body and His blood. It is true. You may come and hear and receive these things. Externally, the words coming into your ear, your heart, or what have you, and walking out and saying, "Oomph, none of that for me. I remain Lord and sovereign of my heart and my mind. I will choose what is right and what is wrong, and I will live this way. I will not accept the way of the cross. I will not accept that as Christ has suffered, so also I must suffer. I insist on my comfort. I insist on my convenience. I will not be put out by loving or caring for my brother." It may be, if so, you depart a poor soul. You depart a naked soul, not clothed by the righteousness of Christ. On the other hand, you may come and you may hear and you may receive and say, "Oh, here is cause for life. Here is joy. Here is a life full over and over of joy and praise and thanksgiving to my God, for He is in fact bringing all things under the authority of Christ. My heart, my mind, my life, these are first and foremost. And to this I attend myself with my attention, and I recognize and embrace the fact that God, in His wisdom, has called and brought us, me with you and you with me, together. Family, the family of God, focused on Him and on His Word. Paul speaks of pressing on. Friends in Christ, we press on individually. Friends in Christ, we press on collectively to glorify and acknowledge we are citizens of heaven itself. Bear this dignity with all the fullness that God's Word and His Spirit and His means of grace bring to us to feed us. Stand in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.